evening, everybody. My name is Terry Whalen, and I'm an author and a publisher out here in the Scottsdale, Arizona area, and I'd like to welcome you to this teleseminar that we're doing tonight with Dana Lynn Smith. I'm very excited to have her here. Dana is known as the Savvy Book Marketer, and she has 16 years of publishing experience and a degree in marketing. She helps authors and independent publishers learn how to sell more books through her how-to guide, blog, newsletter, and private coaching. Dana is the author of several marketing guides, including How to Get Your Book Reviewed, which is the topic of this teleseminar. Tonight, that's a very important topic that we're going to be talking about. Welcome, Dana.
Well, thank you, Terry, and thanks so much for hosting this event. And I am thrilled that we've got so many people signed up. And I also want to thank everyone who submitted your great questions. I did read all of them, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, boy, did we receive the questions. So this is really a great topic that people are very interested in. And mm-hmm. I think the thing that's exciting to me about this is that most authors don't realize that they can be proactive when it comes to the whole topic of getting their book reviewed, Dana. Most people think, well, that's something my publisher will do. That's something that I don't have any control over at all. So I think what we're trying to do tonight, it seemed to me, through these questions and through the information that we're going to be giving, is help authors realize that they can be proactive. They can take the reins of control, in a sense, and be proactive to really get something done when it comes to book reviews.
Well, I agree, and there is a lot that authors can do.
Tonight, let's get started. We've received, as I said, hundreds of questions in a session, and we're not going to be able to answer them all, but what we try to do is combine the questions and get them down to the most common ones that we're going to be talking about. And now, some of these other questions that you had, Dana's got all those, and she's going to be addressing those in her blog and her newsletter. So you want to make sure that you subscribe to her blog, and her blog is at www.thesavvybookmarketer.com, and her newsletter is at www.bookmarketingnewsletter.com. How often does your newsletter come out there, Dana?
Well, right now it is twice a month, but I'm about to change it to weekly.
Wow, okay. Well, that's terrific. We'll put those links also in the replay information that I'll send out to everybody here, and make sure everybody has the ability to get over there and subscribe to that great information that you're putting out there.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Before we start on the first question, Dana, could you briefly explain exactly what a book review is?
Sure, I'd be glad to. There are actually several different types of reviews, and I know it's a little bit confusing because a lot of authors don't realize how many different kinds of reviews there are and how many places there are to get reviews. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the different kinds of reviews first. One kind of review is the traditional critical review that talks about the good and bad points of a book. And those kinds of reviews are usually found in book review journals and in newspapers and magazines. And that's a lot of what people traditionally think of as a book review. Now, there are also a lot of reviews found online. And the online reviews tend to be shorter and a little less formal. The reviews and also book recommendations can be found in a lot of different places. There are blogs that are specifically devoted to book reviews. And also there are topical blogs that are related to the subject matter of a book or blogs that cater to a particular audience for a book are also places that books can be reviewed. Now, another kind of review comes from customers, people who buy the book, and they will post reviews or testimonials, which are really recommendations, in online bookstores and also in social sites like Facebook and on reader networks like Goodreads. And then the last type of review that I cover in my book are endorsements. And endorsements are very similar to testimonials, but these are testimonials that the author solicits from high-profile individuals, celebrities, experts in their field, And these are solicited specifically for book promotion, and you'll often find those printed on the book cover, either on the front, on the back, sometimes just inside the book on the first couple of pages. So that's an overview of all the different kinds of reviews that are out there and available.
Boy, there's a lot of different kinds of reviews to do, and I know that personally, I've written thousands of book reviews over the years. It's been a great opportunity. Most magazines, I find, are pretty much in the category, that you, one of those categories you talked about, where they just want to say positive reviews. They don't want to give space to negative kinds of information about books unless it's like a trade journal or something like that.
Yes, I think most reviews, especially the ones found online, are positive.
Yeah, and writing those negative reviews I found are really quite difficult. I did that for a number of years for a trade publication called Bookstore Journal. I don't think it's called that anymore, but they wanted us to give the good and the bad back then. And it's always hard to write an honest kind of feedback about the book.
Right, and a lot of reviewers have a policy not to publish negative reviews. They just simply don't review a book if they can't find, you know, enough merit in it to do a positive review.
That's right. Well, hey, let's get started here on everybody's questions. And the first audience question, an author named Tim wants to know why it's so important to get your book reviewed.
Well, that's a really good question. I think there are several reasons. The first one is visibility. Every place that you get a book review, you've got an opportunity to reach potential customers. And a lot of those people are people that you would not have reached otherwise through all of your other marketing channels. So the more places that you have book reviews out there, the more potential customers you're going to reach. And another thing about book reviews is that they offer what I call social proof. And that means people want to know that other people liked the book. And so when they see reviews of the book, it lets them know, you know, what other people thought of the book, that other people liked it. Reading reviews also helps people decide if that particular book is a good fit for them. And another reason reviews are important, the reviews in major review journals such as Library Journal really can result in a lot of sales. For instance, a lot of libraries will literally order every book that gets reviewed in a journal like Library Journal. So you can get hundreds or thousands of orders just from one review.
Wow. That's great. No, there's a lot of validation in those reviews, so that's terrific. So Mindy asked a good question. She says, how many reviews should I try and get?
Well, the short answer to that question is as many as you possibly can. But obviously we all have a budget of time and money that we can spend on getting reviews. So my advice is to decide how much you want to invest and then prioritize where you want to send out your review copies. But as you're putting together your review strategy, be sure and include different categories of reviews, you know, publications and websites and so forth, so that you have a good mixture of reviews in different places.
So, Dan, I guess I'm trying to understand here. The type of author that you're talking about now, does it matter whether they're traditionally published, like by a regular publisher that would pay them, that would send out the book for review for the author? You need to be in touch with that publisher to see what their kind of review strategy is, and then you suggest that the author does something. I'm trying to figure out where you're, what kind of author you're talking about here.
Well, I think that all authors need to get involved in the review process. Now, if you've got a traditional publisher, they should be handling the initial review copies, certainly sending out to the big review journals like Publishers Weekly and Library Journal. But it certainly doesn't hurt to follow up with those folks and make sure that they are getting sent out and they're getting sent out on schedule. Because, you know, those publicists may be working on a bunch of different books, and you don't want yours to fall through the cracks. So, you know, it's good to communicate with your publicist. And you can coordinate with them. You might give them a list of other reviewers that you recommend based on your particular industry or genre. And you might also, if you have your own list to send out, they might be willing to give you some review copies. But, yes, I definitely recommend communicating with the publicist to see what they're doing and where you can fill in the gaps and, you know, send out other review copies. And, of course, if you're independently published, you're on your own and you'll be need to do all of it.
Right. But no matter which the type of author that we're talking to tonight, it doesn't matter whether you're traditionally published or whether you're self-published. We're speaking about this whole topic of book reviews and how important it is for the author to really get involved in proactively touching as many people as you can with these.
Absolutely.
Now, I guess one thing you kind of hinted at here was the whole follow-up thing. So what do you recommend that people do as far as follow-up goes?
You mean after they've sent a review copy?
Yeah. Yeah, what's their plan? Because I know, I mean, I've been getting review copies for years, but it's the people that follow up that you know makes me dig it out of the pile and go, oh yeah, I was supposed to read that book, you know.
Yeah.
And if they don't follow up, maybe you don't do it. You know, it's that simple.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on the reviewer. If you've sent a review copy into the big journals like Library Journal, contacting them and bugging them, I don't think is going to do any good.
Probably
but
not.
If you have sent to a, for instance, a book blogger or an expert in your industry, I do think it's fine to follow up. Obviously, you don't want to be a nuisance to people, but it is helpful to remind people. And, you know, a lot of people, they just get so busy, and those reviews, especially people who don't review books on a regular basis, you know, they get busy, the book gets lost in a pile of stuff on their desk, and it certainly doesn't hurt to remind them. So you can do that with an email. It's probably the easiest way.
That's great. It's a very, very important topic here, and I'm reminded again here, we're just getting started, folks, but we have all these questions, and we're not going to be able to answer everybody's question, but one of the best ways and best resources that we have for you is, for one thing, Dana's free report, you know, The Real Truth About Getting Book Reviews. Hopefully you guys have downloaded that and read that material. But also, if you're listening to the live webcast here or the recording afterwards, there's this big red button right in the middle of the screen that says Get Your Copy of How to Get Your Book Reviewed. Now, Dan has invested a ton of energy into this ebook that you can get. So click that button and go over to the page there where you can see all this great information and everything about what's in this book. There's a number of special bonuses that are also in this book. You get the book right away. You get an action plan for how to boost your sales with book reviews. You get a sales sheet about samples and a template. Also, I put together a special bonus, a 32-page bonus about why book reviews matter. I have all kinds of links to different things that are in there as well. And you get this book for just $17, and it comes right away for you there. So we recommend that you do that as another resource way beyond the kind of information that we're going to give during this teleseminar here. But let's get back to our questions. And Sam asks, how can I show the prospective reviewer that it's in his or her best interest to review my book?
Well, I think the first thing to remember is that a reviewer's job is to serve their readers. It's not their job to help authors and publishers, you know, sell books or to help an author further their career. So they're going to do what they feel is in the best interest of their readers. And, you know, journalists, of course, are the same way. So it's the author or publisher's job to show the reviewer that the book is a good fit for them and their readers, and also that it's a good quality book. And so as an author or publisher, you need to do your research to make sure that that reviewer is indeed a good fit. And you also need to write a strong press release or cover letter that outlines the benefits of the book if it's a nonfiction book. Now, if it's a fiction book, in your materials you would send, you would have a brief synopsis of the story, and you can also talk about what makes that book special and what makes it different from other novels in that particular genre.
Wow, that's great. So here's a question from Anne. She says, I'm a first-time unknown author, and my publisher, who's a small publisher of 5 to 10 books a year, told me that my book would not be reviewed since I'm not well-known. So is that true?
Well, Terry, I would disagree with that statement. I think that a lot of first-time authors do get reviews, even in the major review journals. Although, of course, if you have the backing of a major publisher, your odds are going to be increased for getting into the big journals. But certainly first-time authors do get reviews in a number of different places. I think one thing to remember is that there are so many different places to get reviewed. And just because you didn't get into Library Journal doesn't mean that you can't get book reviews and that the reviews can't be effective for you. And Terry, you've been in this business for a long time. What's your reaction to that?
Oh, I absolutely think that's right. I think that every author can get their book reviewed. That might not be in Publishers Weekly or the New York Times or USA Today or one of these kind of well-known places, but any press is good press as far as I'm concerned. And there's lots and lots of publications out there. I know for years I was the book review columnist for Christian Parenting Today, and you know, I mean, I had tons of books that poured in for every month that I put together for that particular magazine, which doesn't even exist anymore. But every time the magazine went out, we published like 150,000 copies of that. So that was great exposure for all those authors that were in the magazine that we wrote about those books. And there's lots and lots of publications out there. So I guess I would encourage Anne to take a look at the topic of her book, where is it a good fit, for which publication, and make sure that those publications, large or small, the small ones are going to be a better fit probably than the large ones, but they get a copy of her book along with a press release.
I agree, and that, you know, Christian Parenting Today, that's a great example of a niche publication that's very targeted towards the particular audience for those books.
Yep, I was definitely looking for a certain kind of book there. I wasn't gonna do some off the wall thing. They were books targeted for that particular audience. And it's like you said a few minutes ago, the author has to think about who the audience is for their book and how they're gonna reach that audience and get it into as many book reviewer hands as possible. Does it always have to be new, Dana? Is that one of the buzzwords when it comes to book reviews?
Well, it's best to try to get as many reviews as you can when the book is new, but there are places to get reviews of older books, and a lot of people who do book reviews, I think particularly bloggers, are less concerned about the age of the book. You know, they're more concerned about the content of the book. Is it a good book? Is it a good fit for their readers?
That's great. That's exactly right as far as I'm concerned, too, here. Now, Dan, a number of authors ask about the timing of reviews. When should review copies be sent? Is it possible to get reviews for books that have been out a while? That's kind of what we sort of hinted at here, but let's go into that just a little bit deeper here. So.
Okay, well, we've been talking about these book review journals, and just to clarify, in case you're not familiar with that, there are some big publications like Publishers Weekly, Library Journal, Booklist, that are really geared towards the book trade, which means librarians and booksellers. And these journals do focus on new books. There is one group of these journals that wants to review books in the month that they are published, and those folks want to get your review copies 3 months before publication so that they have time to send it out to the reviewer, get the review written, get it into the magazine, publish the magazine. And so in those cases, they want to see what's called a galley or advanced review copy 3 months in advance. Then there's another group of those reviewers that will review the book in the first, 3 months of publication. So, they're going to review it a few months later. But in general, those people want new books. But there are other places. Like we said, there's lots of places to get reviews, both printed and online. And one more point I'd like to make is the author's job of soliciting reviews in places like Amazon and Goodreads and online sites like that really goes on for the whole life of the book. I mean, that's something you should always be doing, is trying to get those reviews from customers.
And so is there any specific advice? Let's say my book's been out a while, Dana. So is there any specific advice you can give people about how they can be proactive with getting those reviews on Amazon or Goodreads?
Well, one thing is, anytime you have contact with a customer and they send you a note about your book or make a comment or anything like that, always ask them to write a review. So many people are really happy to do it. It just doesn't occur to them to do it, And if you write them back a nice note and say, "Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciated your note. Would you mind posting your comments on Amazon? Here's the link to my page." You make it really easy for them. So all they have to do is just click the link and type in their comments or copy and paste their comments. So, whenever you have contact with people, don't forget to ask them for that. And you'll get a lot of response that way, I think. excuse me. Another thing is you can even on your social networks actively ask for comments. So say you could post something on your Facebook profile that says, "If you read my book, I'd really appreciate you leaving a comment on Amazon."
Wow, that's all really great ideas. And people just don't think to do that kind of thing at all. I've written a book. For example, my book, Proposals That Sell, came out 6 years ago. And I still, when people will write me and say, "Oh, your book allowed me to, get my book deal or get my agent or whatever," and I write back and say, "Thank you very much. Here's the little link. Could you go over to Amazon and paste that along with the 5-star review?" People are happy to do that just because you've asked them. And here recently, I think I got my 99th 5-star review for my book that's been out 6 years.
Wow.
And then
that's
when
awesome.
When that happens, I trumpet it out to my Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things. It just gives you something else to ta-da about, kind of thing. But people don't think to even do something simple like that.
Right, they just don't realize, and a lot of people don't realize how important the reviews are to the author and also to the other customers who are shopping on the site.
Absolutely. People are making buying decisions every day looking at those pages where your book is on those sites. So the more that you can load it to say that your book is really a great book, I think that's action every author ought to be taking.
Yes, definitely.
Well, we got a lot of questions, too, about how to get reviews for self-published books. For example, Gail asked how to get national reviewers to pay attention to and to review independent books. What do you have for those authors? What do you say to them?
Well, there is definitely a bias against self-published books, and, we need to recognize that, and there are reasons for that. Actually, in my book, I talk about some of the reasons that bias exists. But particularly in the major media and the major book review journals, it is out there. Now, it is slowly changing. And in fact, an author actually wrote a little case study that I put in my book that talked about how the attitudes are changing. And, recently with the spectacular success that some indie authors have had on Kindle, people like Amanda Hawking and John Locke, those people are getting a lot of publicity. And so I think the whole independent author thing is being you know, seen in a more positive light in the media, so that certainly is helping. But it is a little more of a challenge when you're independently published. The first thing that's really vital is to produce a high-quality book. Your book needs to be able to stand up next to the book from Random House and be comparable. And so it needs to be well-written, it needs to be well-edited, and well-designed. And the other thing is, when you're sending it out to potential reviewers, you need to make sure that you're sending good materials with it. A well-written press release or cover letter that goes with the book will also make it look professional to those people. And one other point is, you can also focus on reviewers who are friendly to independent publisher. And that does include bloggers, and there are also some publications that are more friendly to indies.
Now, Dana, you, as a part of the special bonuses of what you're doing and how to get your book reviewed, you're offering a sell sheet. Is that the same thing as a press release, or is that different?
Well, no, the sell sheet is really a brochure or a flyer for your book, and it's more like an advertisement, but I recommend that authors always send that with their press release when they send out review copies, because it gives you a little bit more opportunity to say more about the book than just a standard one-page press release would. And the kinds of things that would be on your sell sheet are, you can put other reviews that you've already received on there, and it usually has some additional information like whether the book is available through wholesalers. It's, you know, have an author bio and a picture of the author, and there's room for a little bit more marketing copy. So it's just basically a flyer that goes with the book.
And if authors are listening to this and they don't really, and let's say they're self-published, and they don't really know how to write a press release, they could probably go to Google and type press release in and get a sample template or something to be able to put one together in the right kind of way, right?
Well, there are plenty of resources online. I would specifically look for sample press releases about books, book announcement press releases and so forth. And actually, in my book, I have a sample press release which was written by Sandra Beckwith, who is a professional literary publicist, and she gave me permission to reproduce a sample press release in the book. So that makes a great model.
Well, that's great to have that model there, and how to get your book reviewed. So for $17, you'd get all that information, and you'd be able to use that model for your book as well. Because having that press release, the sales sheet, having those materials out there, if you're a self-published author, when you send it out, would really make your package and your appearance look more professional at the end of the day, right?
Right. And, you know, you really don't, in my opinion, you really don't want to look self-published. You want to look like a professional book. You know, regardless of who the publisher is, you want the reviewer to focus on the book and the quality of it.
Absolutely. It's all great, great advice there. So if you're listening to this on the replay, or even if you're listening to it live there, I really encourage you to push that big button in the middle of the screen and get over to this page about how to get your book reviewed. And after this call is over, really order this book, because this resource is going to take you far beyond this conversation that Dana and I are having here today. But it's going to give you a lot of detailed information, links to different people that can get your book reviewed, and different ways and resources that are far beyond this limited time frame that we're going to have here together. It's a great, great resource for you. Now, a number of other authors are asking about how to get reviews in high-profile publications, like how do you get in the New York Times book review section?
Well, yeah, I noticed we had quite a few authors submit that question for the call. And one thing I think that it's important to think about is every year in the United States, there are hundreds of thousands of books published. And these major reviewers like Publishers Weekly and the New York Times and so forth, they only have so much space to work with. So they can only review a small percentage of what they receive. And I believe for Library Journal and Publishers Weekly, they review around 10 to 15% of the books that they get. So, you know, your odds are not real high. And it's partly because the space restrictions. They just can't review everything. And another thing is it's really important to study the submission requirements. All these major reviewers do have their submission requirements posted online. And if you look at the New York Times and also Publishers Weekly, it says that they only review books that are widely available in retail bookstores. So if you have a book that does not have national bookstore distribution, it's not going to get into those publications. If you have a traditional publisher, like I said earlier, they should be submitting your book to all these major reviewers at the right time. If you're independently published, you can, of course, review the requirements for all the review journals, but keep in mind that some of them are more friendly to independent publishers. For example, Midwest Book Review does a lot of independent books, and also the San Francisco and Sacramento Book Review is friendly to self-publishers, independent publishers. So there are other places out there, even though we would all love to be in the New York Times, we just can't all be in there. And I have, in my book, I actually have links to the submission pages, the online pages for the major book review journals that has their requirements listed on there so that you can find them easily.
So because those links are in your book, people can open up the e-book, push those links, and that will open up a window on your computer and take you right to the right spot, right?
Right. And some of them are kind of hard to find, especially some of those library journals. They're kind of buried on their websites, and they can be hard to find.
That's great. Now, one of the things that I've found, and maybe you can validate this for me, but that Midwest Book Review that you mentioned, that's a really great place for people to get their books out. And I think you can validate this for me, Dana, but I think those reviews from Midwest Book Review, from Publishers Weekly, like on Amazon, they keep them at the top, don't they, of all the reviews that are there?
Well, they actually get put into the book description section of your book page on Amazon. The book description and then the reviews from the major journals, Amazon actually gets a feed from some of those big publications like Publishers Weekly, and I think Midwest is in there too. And they put them right there under the book description. So they're not buried down there with the customer reviews.
That's
so
great.
They're very visible, yes.
That's a great place, and they're very friendly toward high quality self-published books. The Midwest one is in particular,
yes,
right?
Yes, definitely.
That's really good to know.
Yeah, really all self-published authors who are serious about getting book reviews should be submitting to Midwest because it is one of the top ones.
That's really great. Well, we've been getting terrific questions here from you guys, and this is great information for every author of any kind to be able to get their book out there and get this kind of exposure. So Patricia asks, what is the very best way to get a timely book review from a respected reviewer? And how do you determine if a book reviewer is respected and therefore the review will actually mean something?
Well, that is a great question. As far as the how to get a timely book review, I really recommend that you plan your book review strategy in advance before the book is ever published. It should be part of your marketing plan, your book launch plan, and you do your research and make a list of your top targets and go and check out their review requirements, make sure your book qualifies find out what date they need to have it and so forth, so that you have it all planned in advance. And then, of course, you need to write a strong press release, make sure it all looks professional. I actually have a chapter in the book about what to send to the reviewers and how to send it and so forth. And then her question about, the second part of her question was about how to determine if the reviewer is respected and if the reviewer, if the review will mean something. I think that a review in a major publication or on one of the popular websites will be more influential than some other types of reviews. But I truly believe that all types of reviews have value if they meet your two major goals. And your two major goals are to help people discover the book and to help them decide that it's a good fit for them.
One question I have for you here, Dan, is about, you have a whole chapter about how to send it to the reviewer and how to send it. Are you recommending that they put any gizmo or perk or anything in that package to catch the reviewer's attention, or do they just put the book in there?
I don't think gimmicks are a particularly good idea. I mean, I'm suggesting you send, you know, the book, the press release, the sell sheet. There are some issues about, you know, whether you should autograph your book, whether you should send a hard copy or an e-book, how you should ship the book, things like that I have covered. But I don't think it's a good idea to send, you know, little gifts.
Okay, we're just wondering here, you know. Sometimes I've opened them up and they have confetti all over my desk, you know. I have had that happen.
Now, you know, chocolate might be an exception to that. But
Yeah, I've heard of that too. And so, you know, I mean, they do some funny things sometimes, these books, to get your attention. And sometimes you open it up and you go, well, that's really nice. That's an interesting book. I think I'll read that one, you know. So if you can do something like that that'll get you positive attention and feedback from it, I think that's okay. But most of these gizmo things don't really seem to work, is my take on it. But, you know, I just wondered what
you
were.
And you've seen a lot of review copies, so, yes, I think
I have.
You would know more than I.
I've opened up a lot of these packages over the years. It's always interesting to see what the publishers will do with certain books. Well, a lot of authors also ask about Amazon reviews. Now, for example, Marlene asked, how helpful are these reviews on Amazon? And Susan asks whether people still trust these reviews given places like Amazon, as they're primarily written by supporters. And I guess what they're getting at there is some people feel like that those reviews, all those positive reviews on Amazon, are just totally fluff. You've gotten your relatives, your neighbors, your people that you know, you've sent them over there, and that's why all these positive reviews are there. Is that true?
Well, I guess there is some perception that some people have about that, but I do really believe that the online bookstore reviews are important, and that they do influence customers who are shopping on those sites. And actually, in my book, I cited a study by the Yale School of Management. I found this online.
Wow.
And they actually did a study, and they concluded that reviews in online bookstores actually increase not only sales of specific books, but they concluded that it increases overall sales of books on Amazon, which I'm sure Amazon's quite well aware of that, which is why they do it. Yeah. But, you know, like we said earlier, the reviews offer the social proof that other people enjoyed the book. And really, the more reviews you have on there, I think the higher the trust factor. If there's 3 5-star reviews on the book, people may assume that your 3 best friends wrote them. But, you know, Terry, you've got 99 reviews on your book, and I know you've got a lot of friends, but I'm pretty sure that those didn't all come from your friends.
No, they're but the thing is that I think it's kind of intriguing about my book proposal place is that those are 99 five-star reviews, but I also have some one-star reviews that say that the book sucks, you know?
So
people have actually done that. But,
yeah.
you know, it's a mixture, in other words. It's not 100% got to buy this book, you know? I think that mixture is good as far as I'm concerned.
It is, and that's a really good point that you bring up is because a lot of people get real upset about getting a bad review. And on Amazon, those bad reviews can actually be a good thing because it kind of reinforces the validity of the reviews. You know, if you only have five-star reviews, then people can think, oh, well, those are all just rigged. But, you know, if you have a mixture, it makes it look more real, I guess. So the bad reviews are not a disaster by any means. Of course, if they're all bad, then I guess that would be a problem.
That would be a problem.
But well, most books have a mixture. Yeah.
I have had some author friends of mine that have written about, you know, controversial topics. Like I can think of one author that wrote about a rape kind of situation, for example, and she had her page on Amazon attacked by white supremacists, and they were putting up all kinds of hate information and stuff. And so basically she had to go to Amazon and say, look, take this stuff down from these people, which they did. But so there is some situations like that with the Amazon stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. That is a risk because anyone can post a review as long as they have an account on Amazon and as long as they've ordered at least one product from Amazon, they can post a review even if they didn't buy the book there. And, of course, one of the reasons for that is because Amazon wants to encourage reviews from people regardless of where they got the book. You know, if they checked it out from their library or they borrowed it from a friend or they bought it somewhere else or whatever, they can still post that review on Amazon. One other point that I wanted to make about online bookstore reviews is I think they are especially important for nonfiction books. Because with a nonfiction book, customers are often comparing several similar books before they make a decision, and those reviews really help them decide whether to buy book A or book B. And the thing is, Amazon actually encourages that comparison. If you look at your book sales page on Amazon, there's a section on there that says something like, customers who ordered this book also ordered these books, and they've got the book covers of all your competitors right there on your page.
Yeah, they do.
They're actually encouraging people to go and look at your competing books. So I do think the reviews really make a big difference on the nonfiction books especially.
Now, one of my friends, now maybe you've heard of people doing this, Dana, but one of my friends, what she does is she periodically, when she's going to buy a book on Amazon, will buy her own book as well as another book, because what that does is that pushes her book over to that page where she bought the book. Because Amazon's got a little algorithm out there where they say that, hey, you like this book, maybe you like this book too. And so she kind of jimmies that a little bit by going ahead and buying her book along with another book.
Wow, I've never heard of doing that. That's very creative.
It's just using the sort of Amazon system out there. I always thought that was fascinating that she would do that kind of thing. Okay, let's press on with our questions here. Tina asked if it's okay to send a PDF version of a book to a reviewer rather than a printed book.
Yeah, and I think that's a real common question because the cost of buying the books and mailing them and, you know, the packaging, the postage, everything, it does add up. And so a lot of people do like to send out e-books, if possible, instead of the printed book. So my first answer is it depends on the reviewer. Now, for instance, if you're sending books to the book review journals, they need to have a printed book. But there are some other kinds of reviewers that will accept e-books. And what I did with my most recent book is I actually offered people a choice. I offered them either a PDF, a Kindle, or an EPUB so so that they had a choice of, you know, whichever format they enjoyed reading. And, you know, this is, it's slowly changing as the Kindles and other e-book readers become more popular. A lot of people would frankly rather read their Kindle than sit down and read a paperback. So I think it's fine to offer, but I would, you can either, you know, offer it, or you could, for instance, email the reviewer the e-book and then in your note to them, offer to send them a paper book if they prefer that format. Now, just one other caveat on that. When you're contacting reviewers, your most important prospects, especially if they don't know you, I would go ahead and send a paper book, because it's a whole lot harder to ignore a package sitting on your desk than an email sitting in your inbox.
Well, that's great. Great advice for people. And there is a whole movement, like you say, going on of going more to e-publishing. I keep reading about e-galleys and publishers going to e-only and all this kind of thing. So I can see that it all going that direction, but I agree with you. I'd rather have the printed book and have the package myself. But I may be in the old school here. I don't know.
Well, it's slowly changing.
Dan, let's talk about books that are available only on ebook format. Nikki asked how to get Kindle books reviewed. How does that happen?
Well, if your book is available only in ebook format, it does present more of a challenge because, like I said, there are still a lot of reviewers that only accept printed books, and it is changing, but there's a lot of people who just want that paper copy for various reasons. I think it takes some extra research to identify reviewers that will review a book only in ebook format. And I guess my best advice is that you'll just need to do some research online. I know there are some websites that are specifically focused on Kindle books. The other day I was looking at one called Kindle Obsessed that specifically reviews Kindle books. So they are out there, but it's going to take some more digging to find them, I think.
Well, we're talking here about how to get your book reviewed, and we're not going to be able to cover all the questions that people have. So one of the best resources that people can do is to get a copy of your book, your ebook here, How to Get Your Book Reviewed. Take this ebook for $17, click over on that button and get that and all the bonuses, and you'll be able to be in much better shape and knowledgeable, fully armed about how to get your book out there in the best possible way to get it reviewed at the end of the day. Now, here's a question from Geraldine. She says, I've run into dozens of blog book reviewers who happily accept a copy of the book, give max stars, which is good, and write reviews that basically repeat the book blurb. Do these low-content book reviewers help or hinder book marketing?
Well, I think what she's saying is that the book bloggers are reviewing, they're posting a book review, but they're not really reviewing the book. They're just regurgitating the promotional material, the blurb on the back cover or the press release or whatever. I think, you know, every place you can get your book reviewed helps more people discover your book. So, again, you know, getting it out there is great. And she's, every time she gets that kind of review, she's just getting more exposure for the book. In terms of whether it hinders marketing, you know, make sure that the material you send with it is really good, because that is going to happen. It even happens in printed publications. You know, people will take the press release and basically print the press release. So recognize that that's going to happen, and make sure that the promotional materials, the press release, the book blurb, and so forth is really well written, so that when it does get posted online or in an article or someplace, that it's good and it's going to promote the book for you.
That's really great counsel for people there. So several people, since we're talking about book reviews here, have asked for a comprehensive list of book reviewers. Where can they find that list out there, Dana?
Well, I wish I could tell you, but I don't know of a single source. And believe me, I've looked. I spent a lot of time researching my book. I spent a lot of hours online, doing research and looking for things. I have put together a list of sources in my book. I've got links to the major book review journals and literary magazines. And I also found several websites that actually have lists of book review blogs, I should say. So there are some people out there who have compiled lists of blogs that review books, which is, of course, they're not comprehensive in that they cover everyone, but they are a good place that you can save time and cut down on your research time looking for bloggers. So I've listed some of those as well. Really, other than that, the best place to look is Google. You go onto Google, you search for book reviewers, and it helps to search for reviewers in your specific genre. So if you write romance novels, you would be searching for things like book reviews, romance, or book reviewers, romance novels, using the kind of keywords that would get you to the kind of reviewers you're looking for.
Now, as far as a game plan here when it comes to book reviews, what kind of strategy are you encouraging people to do here, Dan? Are you encouraging them to say, okay, I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to take 30 minutes here and send it out to three people? Or what kind of plan do you encourage people to do on a regular basis when it comes to book reviews?
Well, if your book is not yet published, I would encourage people to build a review strategy into the launch plan for the book, because those first few months are, prime time. But for a book that's already been out for a while, I think devoting some time each week to look for some reviewers and send them out is a great idea. Absolutely.
Now, we've got several questions about using paid reviews. For example, Judy asks, is it ever worthwhile to pay to get a book review in a top site or a journal? And Stephen wants to know if it's considered ethical to solicit and pay someone to review your book on a site like Fiverr.com. Now, Fiverr.com, isn't that where you pay $5? Isn't that what that site is?
Yes, it's a freelance site where people will do a particular task for $5.
Yes, okay. I thought that's what Fiverr.com was.
Yeah.
So tell me about paid reviews. What's your take on that? Is that a good thing or not?
Well, it's very controversial. On the one hand, a lot of people say that paid book reviews can't possibly be fair, that the reviewer would be biased because they're getting paid to do the review. And a lot of people feel like there are so many other places to get free reviews that you really shouldn't be paying for book reviews. It's not a good use of your money. On the other hand, you've got the people who are saying that, look, reviewers work hard. They spend their time reading the book, writing the review, posting it, publishing it, and so forth, and those people should be compensated for the time that they put into it. I would guess that in the publishing industry, probably most people are not in favor of paid reviews. But it is controversial. My personal opinion is that you should do everything you can to get free reviews first before you think about doing the paid ones. Now, Judy's question was, should you pay to get into top sites or journals? I actually don't know of any what I would consider top websites or book review journals that charge for reviews. Now, there are a couple of cases, a couple of the book review journals that have been around for a long time have actually started sister publications with a slightly different name where they do offer paid reviews, but they're pretty expensive. I mean, I think like $300 or $400, so they're pretty pricey. Another option is there are a lot of book review websites out there that do free reviews, but if you pay a fee, they will move your book to the top of the line and, agree to review it within some certain time frame. So that's a different twist on that. Those are less expensive, and one of the advantages of those is that those folks will often post your reviews in a number of different places. Like, they might post them on Amazon and on Goodreads and in, you know, different sites that they can post to. But there is one thing you need to keep in mind. Amazon doesn't allow paid reviews, and so they periodically go in and delete reviews from reviewers that are known to do paid book reviews. So, you know, if you're doing it primarily to get reviews on Amazon, just keep in mind that they might not be there long if Amazon decides to delete them. Now, the other part of that question from Stephen, he was asking about hiring a freelancer on a site like Fiverr. And personally, I do not think that is ethical.
Yeah, my take is there's so many great places to get reviews out there without paying and to reach out and touch people that you probably don't need to do that, is my personal take on it, as somebody that's been doing this for a long time. But, you know, Joey asked, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, Dana, here, when you said that Joey's asking about a difference between fiction and nonfiction when it comes to getting book reviews. So what do you say to this kind of topic out there?
Well, I think that a lot of review venues will review both fiction and nonfiction, but some places that we get reviews are more specialized. For instance, these book review blogs that we've been talking about, those are primarily fiction. I think there are some that do nonfiction, but for the most part, those book blogs are reviewing fiction, and also some of them focus on children's books. So, you know, that's one area where the novelists actually have an advantage over the nonfiction authors, because there are lots and lots of those book review blogs out there. If you're a nonfiction author, I think your focus should be on finding blogs, topical blogs, and also publications that are related to the topic of your book or that are related to your target audience. So, you know, if your target audience is, say, parents, there are lots of blogs out there that focus on parenting. There are magazines that focus on parenting. So you can come at it both ways, either from the topic of the book or the target audience.
Yeah, boy, being right on target is a great thing. And there's so many people that aren't on target that if you are on target, you'll stand out. That's what my take is on that. Mm-hmm. So that if you're really focused on who that reviewer is and who their readers that they're trying to reach, then you're going to reach out to them in a more attractive way than somebody that's just sort of spewing their stuff out there as broadly as they can get it.
Yeah, target marketing is always a good thing. The more tightly focused you are on your ideal reader, I think the higher your success rate is.
That's great. And again, if you're listening to this teleseminar on the replay or whether you're listening to it live, one of the best resources that you can get is to get Dana's book, How to Get Your Book Reviewed. Click over to this page where you can get it right away, How to Get Your Book Reviewed, get the bonuses, download everything, print everything, read it on your Kindle, read it on your computer, however you're going to do that. But just follow up on all these resources that are here, and I think you'll be head above heels over the average author out there just because you've taken the time and the energy to really learn this whole area of how to get your book reviewed and get it out there. Now, Rick asked a question that I think is kind of interesting here. How can you tell the difference between a real book reviewer and someone that's scamming to get books that they can sell on Amazon Marketplace?
Well, that's a very good question. And there are a lot of people out there who pretend to be book reviewers just so that they can get books to sell. They can sell them at their local used bookstore, They can put them up for sale on the Amazon Marketplace, which is where the used books and new books are sold by individuals. So you do need to be careful, and it is important to do some research if you're dealing with an unfamiliar reviewer. One thing to keep in mind is that legitimate book reviewers seldom solicit review copies. You know, if they're a legitimate book reviewer, they're probably buried in an avalanche of books that are being submitted to them, and they are not going out looking for them. So if someone does approach you asking for a review copy, you just need to do some research, think about who they are. You can ask them where their other reviews have appeared and, you know, check it out and see that they really are a reviewer. Now, one caveat to that, if you are a nonfiction author and an expert in your subject area approaches you and says, I'd like to review your book, I mean, in most cases, you absolutely want to send that to them, because having someone who's an expert in your field review the book is a very good thing. And, you know, hopefully they're going to share the review with others and, you know, be willing to post a comment on Amazon. It'll give you a comment you can put in your marketing materials on your own website and so forth.
Great advice there about that whole question. Now, Dennis, several other authors ask about how to handle negative reviews, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but do you have some more advice about how to handle the negative reviews that you'll get?
Sure, I can give a few tips on that. I think the first thing is try not to take it personal. It's very upsetting, especially the first time you get that negative review. You know, you just feel terrible. And I remember when I got my first one-star review on Amazon, I was very upset. But just remember, it's not personal. People have different opinions, certainly, and especially with fiction. You know, fiction is largely a matter of personal taste, and people will have different taste and different opinions about books. And there are also people out there who have their own agenda. And just like you were talking earlier where that author got hate reviews on Amazon, sometimes people will post bad reviews about their competitors' books, which is highly unethical, but it does happen. And there are some people who are just, you know, they're just ugly, and they just write ugly reviews of books. So I think one thing you can do is think of a review as a critique of the book. And look for any areas, you know, that you might be able to improve. Maybe the reviewer has made a good point in some area of something that you can improve about your book or your writing in general. Because as writers, we should always be looking on how to improve our writing. Another thing is, hopefully a bad review will motivate you to go out and find some more good reviews to counterbalance them. And that's especially true on Amazon. A lot of the top-selling books on Amazon have a whole lot of negative reviews, but they also have a whole lot of positive reviews. So, you know, the other day I was looking at one of John Locke's books, and I think he had over 100 one-star reviews. Well, this man has sold 1 million Kindle books in the last year. So clearly his one-star reviews are not keeping people from buying his book. And one more point. On Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I keep saying Amazon, but certainly there are reviews on Barnes & Noble. We shouldn't ignore them completely. On Amazon's and Barnes & Noble, they do have review policies in place, and if you truly feel that a review has violated the policies of those websites, you can request to have it taken down. But before you do that, be sure and just read the policies and see if that is a problem, and you can have it taken down. And you mentioned this earlier, Terry. There's an old saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity. So, you know, in some respects, any review is better than no review.
Yes. No, I think there's a lot to that. They say that sometimes negative reviews sell more books than positive reviews. I've heard that over and over in this business, that any press is good press is what they say. Mm-hmm. So it's I think there's a lot of validity to that. We as authors, you know, get our heart out there in our books, though, and when we get those negative reviews, it really doesn't make us feel too good. But we probably need to take a deep breath and, you know, walk around the block or something. Probably.
Good advice.
Yeah. But Judith asked too. Do you recommend the large online reviewers like Library Thing? I'm not even familiar what Library Thing is. Tell us what that is.
Okay. Well, actually, that is a great question. There are social networks out there that are specifically designed for readers and authors to talk about books. And so it's kind of like Facebook, except it's all geared towards books. And people post lists of the books that they have reviewed, or the books that they have read, I'm sorry, and then they can also post reviews or recommendations, give them star ratings like on Amazon. And this is a great place for authors to promote, you know, try to get people to review there, and also for authors to hang out and interact and post their own reviews. The two largest of these groups are Goodreads, which I believe is the largest, and Library Thing is the second largest. But there are quite a few other smaller ones. And I wrote a chapter in my book about this. I actually call them virtual reader communities, which is totally a name that I just made up to call them something.
That's great.
But I've got a little chapter with links to all of them. And the best part is Goodreads and Library Thing actually let authors post review copies. So in other words, if you're an author registered as an author on Goodreads, you can go in and say, okay, I'm going to give away 5 review copies of my book, and you have a week to make a request. And it goes up on their review copy page on their site, and whoever's interested in that book clicks on some little box, I forget what it's called, and so at the end of the week, Goodreads automatically draws 5 people from all the names that were entered. And, you know, some of these books get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of requests. So Goodreads just emails the author and says, okay, here's the 5 people that won, and then the author sends the review copies out to those people. Now, hopefully, when those people read the book, they're going to post a nice review back on the Goodreads site.
Now, does the author also get the emails of all the people that didn't get the book?
No, just the winners.
The winners.
But just having it up there on that page for a week, or I think you can specify the time frame, it's great publicity for your book, because all the people who didn't win still saw your book and read about your book and saw your author name and so forth.
And hopefully they go over and buy the book.
Right, and it's totally free.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we've run through tons of questions here, far more questions we received than we're going to be able to do during this 70-minute teleseminar that we have here. But, again, the best, absolutely best resource that you can get from Dana here is to go over and click that button right in the middle of the screen that says how to get your copy of how to get your book reviewed, and that'll open it up to the sales page and take you over. And for $17 here, you'll be able to get a copy of her book, How to Get Your Book Reviewed. Also, you'll get these special bonuses that come with the book, an action plan for boosting book sales with reviews, a sell sheet and samples, a template. You'll also get this 32-page ebook that I put together about why book reviews matter. Follow the links in there. Look at all the different resources that are in each of these resources that are here. What a bargain for $17 to be able to go through this and boost this whole area. So, Dana, as we conclude here, is there just maybe one tip that you can give people when it comes to book reviews what authors can do in this area?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be proactive. You know, make up a plan, decide who you want to go after for book reviews. And there are so many categories and different ways and places to get book reviews. But just put together a plan and be proactive and keep after it.
Wow, that's great. And remember, Dana's going to be addressing some of these questions that we could not answer today in her blog and her newsletter. So be sure to subscribe to that blog at www.thesavvybookmarketer.com and her newsletter at www.bookmarketingnewsletter.com, and get this book, How to Get Your Book Reviewed, because that's going to help you to be able to get out there in the best possible way. So this is Terry Whalen. I'm signing off tonight. I'm thanking each of you for coming here tonight and spending your time with us, and just hope that the information here is going to help you to get your book out there in a unique kind of way. And I wish you all the best with your book sales.